Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lightning brew. So I am a notoriously slow deck builder, and I would really like to try to improve this. Usually I'll do like a multifaceted episode where I do kind of minimal editing, minimal scripting, just so I can make sure that I'm sharing my thoughts with what a new card or deck, or even just new concept in Magic has really caught my interest recently. What I'm going to do today instead is to try to build a deck within a reasonable time frame of about 10 to 15 minutes using one of the new commanders that came out of the new Warhammer 40K Universes Beyond commander decks. Before we get started, I just wanted to apologize for not being around last week. I actually live just south of where Hurricane Ian had made landfall, and my normal episode recording and editing time kind of got chewed up with hurricane preparation instead. So as a result of that, no episode last week, but I want to make it up for us this week and get a new episode out for everybody. If you're enjoying the work we're doing in these episodes, please hop on, give us a like or subscribe on whatever platform you use to enjoy the episodes, whether it's one of your podcasting apps or on YouTube, it really goes a long way. And without further ado, let me introduce us to the card we're going to be looking at this week. That is Celestine the Living Saint. Celestine is 4 and a white for a 3/4 legendary creature human warrior with flying and lifelink and the ability word Healing Tears. At the beginning of your end step, return target creature card with a mana value X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the amount of life you've gained this turn. Now, there are probably going to be a lot of different ways that people are building this. I can see people leaning very heavily into the life gain aspect with a lot of soul sisters like Soul Warden or Soul's Attendant, and I'm not necessarily sure that is the right way to do this. An important comparison with Celestine would be to a card like Sun Titan, the 6/6 classic, which is going to get you a permanent with a mana value 3 or less whenever it ETBs or attacks. I think having this in the command zone that we can reliably expect every single turn we're going to be able to get back a creature with a mana value 3 or less, that is a reliable enough thing to build on. There are a few different angles that we can take this, and I'm going to use the Moxfield interface to kind of walk you through my thought process as we're going through this. So first and foremost, I know there's a set of cards that I really want to add that are going to get me lands when they enter the battlefield. So we're going to look for a search term, enters the battlefield. We're going to say Plains. We're going to look at creatures and commander with mana value 4 or less. So there we go. Let's go ahead and grab Ambitious Farmhand, Knight of the White Orchid, Loyal Warhound. We have Oreskos Explorer, Space Marine Scout from the new set. We have Pilgrim of the Ages going to put it into hand, but you know what? I'll take it. Probably drop it later. Scouting Hawk is a 1-1 for 3 with flying, and if an opponent has more lands than you, search your library for a basic Plains card, put on the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle. Yep, I'll take all of them just as a way to potentially catch up later. I'll probably cut some of these. We also probably want to look at our ETB effects that are potentially powerful in mana value 4, 3 or less. I think one of the big ones that we want to make sure that we have in these colors, we want to get Skyclave Apparition. Just as a removal spell, it is a 3-drop, and when it ETBs, this 2/2 spirit is going to exile up to one target, non-land, non-token permanent, you don't control with mana value 4 or less. As long as we're putting in our ramp, I'm just going to go ahead and add a package here for some ramp in these colors. So we're going to put in Land Tax, Soul Ring, Mind Stone, Felwar Stone, Everflowing Chalice, and Arcane Signet. This is going to kind of get us all of our 2 mana value and less rocks, as well as Land Tax. We may want some additional ramp, but this is looking pretty good so far. Let's now put in our interaction in these colors. So we'll be getting Generous Gift, 3 mana to remove any kind of permanent. Path to Exile, Swords to Plowshares. Tragic Arrogance is one of my all-time favorite board wipes. For each player, you choose among them a permanent that player controls that is an artifact, a creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker. Then each player sacrifices all other non-land permanents he or she controls. You get to choose these. That is the key that makes Tragic Arrogance so good in Battlecruiser decks. Winds of Abandon is just potentially a one-sided mass path to exile. It's awesome. I love it as one of my wraths in mono white. I don't necessarily think we want to run a ton of wraths if they're not going to be one-sided, as we really want to make sure that we're keeping our board intact. I think in terms of other interaction, we want to put in Cathar Commando. It is going to be a 2-drop with flash. It is a 3-1. You can pay 1 and sacrifice it to destroy target artifact or enchantment. You can flash it in response to a dangerous attacker and get rid of it. I think in these color, in mono white 2, we probably want to look at ways to potentially make Celestine and the rest of our board bigger. So, Sultari Crusader, I think is the name of the card. This is an old card from... No, that's not the right card. Sultari Champion. So this is 3 mana for a 2-2 Sultari Soldier with Shadow, which means it can only be blocked by or block creatures that have Shadow. Importantly, when it attacks, all the creatures you control get +1/+1 till end of turn. That makes Celestine connect for 4 points of lifelink damage. That gets you back potentially bigger things. In the same mana slot, we can also get Banalish Marshal. Yes, white for a 3-3 creature human knight. Other creatures you control get +1/+1. Looking over our suite so far, we're doing pretty good here. Got quite a few humans. That might be something we want to lean into more later. We probably also want to see what we could potentially do in terms of other ETB effects. So you can use Scryfall search terms when you're actually looking in Moxfield. So let's scroll through these quickly. I think I'm going to avoid the Soul Sisters stuff for now. I don't see a lot of real value with it because our commander only triggers on end step. We're not going to get a lot of value unless we're also pushing a lot of creatures out during our main phase. And I think during our main phase, we want to be attacking and then potentially holding up interaction on the rest of our turn and through our opponent's turns. I'm not seeing a lot of great stuff here. I'm going to throw Fiend Hunter in for now, just as a way to potentially exile things. Leonin Relic Warder, I know, is another one that's potentially good, just to potentially Oblivion Ring our opponent's stuff, and we can get it back. Where are you, Leonin Relic Warder? There you are. Extraction Specialist, I kind of went by a moment ago. This card's pretty cool, from Streets of New Capenna. It is 3 mana, 2 and a white for a 3-2 creature human rogue with lifelink, so it pays us off there. When enters the battlefield, return target creature with a mana value 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Can't attack or block for as long as we control Extraction Specialist. Great. So these 2 mana value creatures we're getting could potentially wind up being a lot of our stacksy creatures. And along those lines, I think probably going to include something like Spirit of the Labyrinth, which is going to be a 2 mana value creature. It stops our opponents from drawing cards and forces them to play the kind of game that we're stuck playing. There are going to be a number of other ones. I don't think we want to stop ETBs with something like Hushbringer in this particular deck. I think we might want to do Eidolon of Rhetoric. 3 mana value creature, but it's a rule of law effect on a creature. Can also potentially increase costs for people with things like Thalia. So we can go ahead and get Thalia, Guardian of Thraben. We can potentially get the Heretic Cathar. So that's a 3 mana value Thalia who is going to act as a Kismet effect on our opponents, which is pretty sweet. There is a mono-white legend from Eldraine. Okay, and that is Linden, the Steadfast Queen. White for a 3-3 legendary creature human noble with vigilance, and whenever a white creature you control attacks, you gain 1 life. This is the kind of life gain that we would be looking for. It's going to feed into the plan of getting a lot of attacks in and gaining us extra life to bring back potentially bigger creatures later on. If we are going to be swinging in lots, we already have lots and lots of creatures here. A natural fit for this deck then would be Serra Ascendant. Good old 1 mana 1/1 with lifelink, and if we have 30 or more life, Serra Ascendant gets +5/+5 and has flying. leaning into this as well. We could potentially do Resolute, Righteous Valkyrie. So Righteous Valkyrie is 3 mana for a 2/4 Angel Cleric with flying. We don't care so much about the clause of whenever another angel or cleric enters the battlefield on our control, we gain life equal to that creature's toughness. We care more about is this is an anthem effect. As long as you have at least 7 more life than your starting life total, your creatures get +2/+2. Makes your creatures big, and we're probably going to win with this deck through combat damage. Okay, for lands, for now, I think I just want to put in 35 planes. Eventually go back and fix that and probably add more things like War Room to the deck. But for now, just kind of eyeballing exactly where I am in terms of lands. I want ways to interact with everything, so let's throw in Fragmentize as a way to interact with enchantments pretty consistently. I don't know if necessarily this is going to be a Rule of Law deck. Not super effective in casual, but I don't mind Blind Obedience as a Kismet effect to keep shields down for my opponents, forcing their creatures to enter the battlefield tapped, stopping artifact combo shenanigans, and letting me potentially pour mana into Extorting to gain additional life, get additional value off of Saint Celestine. Also kind of probably want to push out higher and over our opponents. Hero of Bladehold is another sort of anthem effect that has Battle Cry. Whenever it attacks, each other attacking creature gets +1/+0. That's going to give us more life link off of Celestine. That's going to give us more value off of the Raised Dead trigger. Then we could also potentially, because we have a lot of humans in here, we can probably run Rick, Steadfast Leader. We are probably going to be able to turn on Rick where we have 4 humans to give our humans +2/+2. We can choose from among First Strike, Vigilance, and Lifelink to give to all of our humans. That potentially means our commander could be a 5/6 flying Lifelink First Strike Vigilance. That is a lot of potential power in the air. Adeline is another house. She is 3 mana for a star 4 with vigilance. Her power is equal to the number of creatures you control. Whenever you attack for each opponent, create a 1/1 white human creature token that's tapped and attacking that player or planeswalker they control. A couple of other good ones that we're going to want here. Ranger Captain of Eos is going to be our 3 drop that can tutor up a 1 drop. And we can sacrifice it, and our opponents can't cast non-creature spells this turn. On that note, other potential silences we could run would be Hope of Ghiripur. That's going to be a silence when we connect with it, and very easy to bring back with Celestine. The more we can have on creatures in this deck, the better. I think we also probably want to include, I think Dawn of Hope is probably going to wind up being a cut from the deck, but it's a potential mana sink for us where we can dump 2 mana at a time whenever we gain life to draw a card, and we can pay 3 and a white to create 1/1 creature soldiers with lifelink. Let's just go a little bit wider. Low mana value, fairly easy to get going. I think a little bit of protection that we could run in the deck here would be the Alcid of Life's Bounty. It is a 1/1 with lifelink and enchantment creature. We can sacrifice it to give a creature or enchantment we control protection from the color of our choice to end of turn. Catilda is also a potential powerhouse as a 3 drop. A 3 mana, 1 white, white legendary creature spirit warlock with flying, lifelink, and protection from vampires. Her power and toughness are each equal to the number of permanents you control that are spirits and or enchantments. And on the back half, Catilda will be an aura for 3 white-white, which can do the same thing as a disturb cost. We have 22 spots left in the deck. Probably want more interaction overall. We probably got a decent amount of ramp going on. Palace Jailer is another way for us to potentially get the Monarch, a way for us to get additional draws that way. And we can exile a creature when it comes into play as long as we remain the Monarch. I'm not sure I would lean more into the Monarch than that. With our low mana value, I think Patch Up from one of the new sets is pretty good. 3 mana to bring back up to 3 target creatures with mana value 3 or less from our graveyard to the battlefield. As long as we're looking at low-cost creatures, I have completely forgot to put in Esper Sentinel. the old one drop artifact creature who will tax our opponents one mana on their first non-creature spell each turn. If they don't do it, they will pay us a mana. So long as we're going to continue to tax them, let's throw in Smothering Tithe as a way to give us additional mana. Overall, this is shaping up pretty nicely. I think we want just a little bit more card draw for now. I can't think of any good ones off the top of my head. So let's throw in a couple of more beaters here. So Silverblade Paladin is a way to potentially give our commander double strike, 3 mana for a 2/2 with Soul Bond, as long as it's paired with another creature who we would make into Celestine. Both creatures have double strike. That's more lifelink. That's more high mana value creatures coming back out of the graveyard. There is also a warrior. Ooh, I remembered it. So it is Arashan Foremost, 3 mana for a 2/2 with double strike. Whenever it enters the battlefield or attacks, another target warrior, which our commander is, gains double strike until end of turn. I think potentially we look at... I want to run most of my effects on creatures, if at all possible. But we could also look at cards like Paladin Class as a little bit of additional protection for the deck. 1 white mana for an enchantment. It's one of those classes. At its baseline, spells your opponents cast cost 1 more to cast during your turn. We can level it up to level 2 for 2 and a white. For an anthem, creatures you control get +1/+1. Accomplishes what the deck wants. And 4 and a white, whenever you attack, until end of turn, target creature gets +1/+1 for each other attacking creature and gains double strike. That's kind of what the deck wants to do. Cleric Class is also potentially interesting. I mentioned I didn't want a lot of small life gain in the deck, but for 1 white mana, if you would gain life, you gain that much life +1 instead. Makes it very easy for Celestine to bring back 4 drops. Cards like Hero of Bladehold, which are very, very powerful. On that note, another strong 4 drop. We could put in Leonin War Leader. This is a 4 drop cat. There you are. 4 mana for a 4/4. Whenever it attacks, create 2 1/1 white cat creature tokens with lifelink that are tapped and attacking. Another way to flood the board and just beat face while we have a chance to do so. 13 slots left in the deck. I'm going to throw in War Room as one of our lands. I am going to say that our artifact ramp is probably not really adequate at the moment, but I'm going to leave it that way for now. In terms of sorceries, I'm going to throw in Tithe. I know it's expensive, but it's another way to get additional Plains cards out of the library. Gift of Estates is another way to load up our hand. Unfortunately, that is much cheaper. 2 mana if an opponent controls more lands than you, search your library for up to 3 Plains. Reveal them, put them into your hand, then shuffle. At this point, we are at 90 cards in the deck. I may want to throw in just a couple of other lifelinkers. So this is for lifelink in mono white with a mana value of less than 4. Already have Ambitious Farmhand in the deck. It does transform into a 3/3 with lifelink. I don't really care about Denitha. I already have Extraction Specialist in the deck. It's probably going to be a cut at some point anyway. Heliod Suncrown is a potential combo piece that we can use. And whenever we gain life, it's going to act as an anthem for our creatures anyway, putting a +1/+1 counter on one of them. Intrepid Adversary from Innistrad Midnight Hunt. 2 mana for a 3/1 with lifelink, and when it ETBs, you can pay 1 and a white any number of times, so it's different than Multi-Kicker. When you pay this cost 1 or more times, put that many Valor counters on it. Creatures you control get +1/+1 for each Valor counter on Intrepid Adversary. Done. I like that. I don't think we're going to include any of the ETB lifelink creatures. I don't think we're going to be reliably getting enough mana to trigger cards like Resplendent Angel. I may say at this point, potentially run a couple of other Kismets. I'm not quite sold on that though. Let's see what else we can find here for death triggers in our parameters. Daxos is potentially a big-butted attacker, and he'll give us life when our creatures die. I'm not sure that's good enough. Matter Reshaper is 3 mana for a 3/2 colorless Eldrazi. When it dies, reveal cards from the top of your you reveal the top card of your library. If it's a permanent with a mana value 3 or less, put it into play. Otherwise, you put that card into your hand. Sure, I'll throw that in for now. Probably be a cut later. I think that about covers it. Okay, let's take a look next at maybe sacrifice effects. These creatures are going to die easily, so we could potentially bring them back multiple times. We already see Cathar Commando in here, which we've already included in the deck. Hope of Ghirapur is already in the deck as well. Heap Doll's a way for us to interact with Graveyard, so that's probably an include. We have a very high white base with very few colorless cards, so I think Martyr of Sands, a single white mana for a 1/1 human cleric. We can pay one, reveal X white cards from our hand, and sacrifice it to gain 3 times X life. That is a way to potentially bring back something big. Peacekeeper is cool, but kind of cute, as we has an upkeep cost of 1 and a white for a 1/1. We could let it die on our turn, and then bring it back at end step. With the static ability, creatures cannot attack. I think that's cool, but kind of cute. As long as we're running Ranger Captain of Eos, let's just run the old-fashioned Ranger of Eos as well. 4 mana for a 3/2. It gets us 2/1 drops. Does not have the silence effect built into it. So we're at 96 cards in the main board right now. I think at this point, I probably just want to run a little bit more interaction. And this is going to take some tweaking as well. So I'm going to run Leave No Trace. This is one of my favorite hidden gems in mono white. 1 and a white for an instant with Radiance, destroy target enchantment, and each other enchantment that shares a color with it. A way to potentially get rid of the Enchantress player who's on like a green base, or get rid of both a Mystic Remora and everybody's Rhystic Study. It's a really nice little piece of value there. I think we also put in Recruiter of the Guard at this point. I don't think we're reliant enough on other things in the deck that I want to run Enlightened Tutor or anything along those lines. You may want to Spice to Taste and add that into the deck. I think we want to run... there is a 3-drop Mana Rock. Heraldic Banner, 3 mana for a artifact. When it enters the battlefield, choose a color. Creatures you control the chosen color get +1/+0. And tap to add 1 mana of the chosen color. It's an anthem effect, and it's a bunch of other decent stuff, so that's not too bad. And we got one spot left in the deck. Let's just go ahead and... let's just run Battle Angels of Tyr. It's a card that I want to try out, and this could be a potentially good deck for it. It could potentially gain us some life. 4 mana for a 4/4 flying in Myriad. When it deals combat damage to a player, draw a card if that player has more cards in hand than each other player. Then you create a treasure token if that player controls more lands than each other player. Then you make a 3 in life if that player has more life than each other player. And there we go. It took me about 20 minutes all around to build this deck. That is way down from my normal time. And it's going to take some tweaking, but this is a decent skeleton for something we can do with Celestine the Living Saint. Have you taken a look at building any of the new decks out of the Warhammer 40k precons? Let us know about it. You can leave us a message on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at Gemstone Mine MTG, or you can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.